Hello, welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Jordana Osman, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechta Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Tet, page 79. Well, I'm going to jump around a little bit today. There's a couple of interesting sort of different scenarios or cases around this donkey rental, which, and as you said while we were prepping this episode, you said, you know, it's like a Masa Shahaya. Like, I'm sure this was very practical, commonplace halacha that happened. And I just want to give some highlights here of what the daf talks about. You're going to talk about the boat rental. So the first is an Amoreia case that they bring here. Amar Rav bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. So Rav bar Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Hasocher tachamor lechob aleha, right? If somebody rents a donkey to ride on it, ubeita lo b'chatzi haderach, and it dies midway through the journey, notain lo schara shel chatzi derach, the renter has to pay the owner the fee for riding the donkey until the midway point, and the renter can have nothing but complaints against the owner, right? So in other words, he can basically complain that the owner rented him, you know, a sickly donkey that ended up dying, because remember, they would rent it, these donkeys, to like journey or to get someplace. So the Gemara says, what exactly is this case? If it's likely, right, that the renter could find another donkey to rent, ta remote my abdite, then why mention complaints? There's nothing to complain about. He paid half of it, and then he'll, you know, or he paid to the midway point, and then he'll, you know, rent another donkey and pay whatever that journey is going to be. And if he can't find, if it's not likely that he'll find another donkey to rent, agra bai lemetev le, should the renter be required to give the owner any fee at all, right? You know, no, then of course he shouldn't be, because he's, you know, he's going to have to, you know, find, he's going to basically have to figure something else out. So the Gemara clarifies and explains what the case is. Right. Rav is talking about a case where it's not likely that they'll find another donkey to rent. Right. And why does Rav, you know, make the renter pay half the rental? Because the owner can say to the renter, if you wanted to travel until here, right, until this midway point, lav agra ba'it lemete, would you not have been required to pay for it? So his point is, like, you still would have to pay to travel as far as you got, so you should still pay for it. The Gemara from here, again, wants to be like, hey, chidami, what exactly is this case? Ida amar le chamor stam, if the owner told the renter that he'll rent him an unspecified donkey, ha'chayv la'mid lo chamor acher, then the owner actually is obligated to give the renter another donkey to replace the donkey that died. Ida amrle chamorze, and if the owner told the renter that he would rent him this particular donkey, im yesh pedame likach, if the value of the carcass is enough to purchase, you know, some other type of donkey, yikach, the renter should sell the carcass basically and purchase another donkey with the money. So again, the question is, why did Rav say that the renter has to pay half the rental fee and has nothing but complaints against the owner? So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha, it's not a difficulty, right? Why did you need this ruling? B'sheinein damei likach. Rav is talking about a case where the value of the carcass is not enough to actually purchase something else. Now they're going to go ahead and they're going to try to, they'll disagree with this. They're going to bring some mishnas. They go on about this for a while. You know, and with this discussion, then later on Amud Bet, they have another interesting case. This is based on a brisa. Tanu Ravanan hasocher tachamor lirchov aleh ish. Somebody rents a donkey for a man to ride on it. Lo terkav aleh isha. A woman is not allowed to ride on it. Okay, because you rented it out for a man, and the reason Mefarshim give is actually because a woman is heavier on the donkey. You know, some say it's because she doesn't know to adjust herself. But that's basically the idea, is that, you know, a woman is actually more weight or burden for the donkey. Then it goes on to say, Rocheb aleha, Isha, right? If somebody rents a donkey for a woman to ride, Rocheb aleha Ish, a man is also allowed to ride on the donkey. Again, Mefarshim explained because he's lighter. The Isha, and when one rents a donkey for a woman to ride, right? He can put any woman can ride on it. Bing Dola, Bing Tana, whether she's large or small, Afilu Mubarit, even if she's pregnant, Afilu Manika, and even if she is nursing. Now then the Gemara says, Hashta Manika Amard. now that you, meaning that Tana has said that a nursing woman can ride the donkey, right? Even with the, and the assumption is that it would be with the baby. Okay. That's what it is. So it's not just a woman. It's a woman plus the baby, right? Me uberet me by. Why do you need to say a pregnant woman? If a woman can, you know, ride the donkey with her baby, then obviously a pregnant woman can. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rapapa Miuberet Vihimani Kak Amar. The Tana is actually talking about a case about a pregnant woman who is also nursing. So, you know, as a pediatrician, a lactation consultant, this is actually what we call it's a form of tandem nursing. Tandem nursing is more when you're nursing two at the same time. But this idea of like nursing while you're pregnant is not so common today, but is something that did definitely used to happen. But the idea is that it's also like it's a triple load here. And then from here, you know, the Gemara has like an agadic teaching. Amar Abai Shema Mina. Abai says, learn from this statement that even if she was pregnant, Binita Akrisa Tikle, according to the size of the belly is the weight of the fish. In other words, the greater the belly, the heavier the fish. So it's essentially saying, right, the larger, a woman is, you can assume the larger the baby is. And then they basically say, Lamai Nafkamina, right? What practical difference does this teaching make? I know I'm going a little bit, right? Lamekach or Lamemkar, right? It has to do with buying and selling fish in the market, right? That basically, Abai is basically saying you don't purchase a large belly fish that's sold by weight unless its intestines are removed first. So I just found this like whole passage to be super interesting. First, we had the case, you know, that you have to pay halfway. And then we have this, you know, Brisa that teaches all these halachot that there's really a difference between renting to a man, renting to a woman, renting to a pregnant woman is nursing, a pregnant nursing woman. And then you have this like weird thing that Abai says at the end, which has to do with buying fish. And that's like how the whole teaching of the Mishnah ends. You'll see tomorrow, we're going to start right away with a new Mishnah. But I think these were cases that actually happened and they're kind of interesting to see.
I think the presumption that the woman is a heavier rider than the man is fascinating.
Right. Meaning, like, we would never think that culturally today. And I wonder if that has to do with like what women's bodies used to look like as opposed to culturally what we expect women to look like today.
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. Even if the men were more active and the women were more sedentary, I don't even know if I believe that. Like, the women certainly were out doing field stuff. Like, we see this in all these cases. There's never been a description of, like, women are just more naturally heavier than men. Like, it's just a strange thing.
So, again, men so some of the first I read explained that it might be the way they sit on the donkey. Like, they don't adjust themselves a way that makes it easier for the donkey to carry them.
Right. So I saw that as well. It's possible. It's just right. Are you a lump of potatoes? Are you a sack on the animal, or are you holding yourself as a rider does? And I'm thinking, but it's a donkey, like not a horse. I don't know. I don't have enough understanding here. It just seems like the given is a like maybe if you're talking about the pregnant women, right? If you're Dafka talking about very heavily pregnant women, and even then, I think the average man is still probably heavier just physically than the average woman. Like, I don't know, you know.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, there are women who are heavier than men. Obviously, there are men who are lighter than women. Yes, but I'm talking about like to establish a rule, which is what they're doing here.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. I'm going to go on now. I'm kind of like in the middle of what you, because you jumped around. I'm talking now on the towards the bottom of them. So you have somebody who rents a boat, and then the boat sinks halfway through the journey. So this is bad on many levels, meaning besides the fact that presumably you're in the boat. Rabbi Natan Omer, Im Natan lo yitol, Vim lo Natan lo yitain. Rabbi Natan says if the person renting has already paid for the boat, he doesn't get a refund. But if he has not yet paid his money, he doesn't have to pay it, right? Meaning there's no boat to pay for it at that point anymore. On the other hand, I don't know why he shouldn't be able, like the let the buyer beware, right? Is always a good concern, right? A good what could go wrong if you purchase something. On the other hand, the question of why this boat is sinking, you know, they're not saying do an investigation. I mean, now they're about to say that. Hey, Ridami, Ilema Basfina Zo, V'yayin Stam, Im Natan Amai Lo Yito. So the Gemara says, what was the deal in the contract that they have this, you know, what were the terms of the rental? If you want to say that the owner says that he was renting this boat, meaning this particular boat, and then the renter, the person renting the boat, says, I'm going to transport this wine, not wine in general, right? He's using the boat to transport wine. In that time, am I lo yito? So then why should he, even if he did give the money, why shouldn't he get that refund, right? It was, you know, specific to that boat, and that boat is the one that failed. Memele havli spinata da'ana maitina chamra. So the Gemara says, well, let's read this case differently. What if the renter came to the owner and said, give me that boat, that particular boat, so that I can transport my wine, right? And so then the question is, you know, if you can't give him that boat, then he should give back the rental fee so he can rent a different boat, right? Ela basfina stam v'yayin zeh. What happens, though, if you say, you know, again, this particular boat, I'm sorry, a stam boat, any boat, whatever boat you have, and this particular wine. So in that case, im lo natana, mai lo yitain. And in that case, we would say, if he hasn't paid yet, why wouldn't he pay? Meaning he said any boat. He's not worried about which boat it is. So then how can he be worried about the fact that this boat then came to drown? The precision here, I think, is what's interesting, right? Like the when the person comes to rent and has his mind, his eye on a particular thing, and then that's going to change what the nature of the contract is, because he has made a specific request for a given boat, or actually not at all, right? And then that makes a difference then in terms of liability. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Namele havli hahu chamra va'ayana mintina svita nata. So maybe the owner could say to him, give me that wine. You give me the wine and I'll give you a boat. Meaning the wine then is taken care of. It's all gone. And now the renter cannot do anything here, right? So he shouldn't, because the boat is gone too. So he shouldn't have to pay the rental fee, right? I'm sorry. I think I've said this wrong. I think the point is, you'll give me that wine, but now the wine has gone down with the boat and he can't pay, right? So how is he going to have to pay the rental fee? Amar Rav Papa, lo mishkachad la ela besfina zo v'yayin zeh. Rav Papa says, no, we're talk about Rav Natan's ruling. You know, again, to go back, to remember what he said, Rav Natan said, if the renter gave the money for the boat, he does not get a refund. And if he did not yet give the money, then he doesn't have to pay. So Rav Papa says, take that position and only apply it when you've got a specific boat and specific wine. Meaning both parties need to be able to fulfill their part of the deal for this to even be relevant. Aval basfina stam v'yayin stam cholkin. But when, you know, you're talking about an unspecified boat, any boat, and unspecified wine, right? And then the question is, can they complete the agreement or with another boat? Then that's where they would end up. It says chokin, divide the rental fee, meaning the renter would pay half. It's like, you know, split the difference, which actually makes good sense, I think. The Gemara goes on with other boat cases, right? Like boat cases and different cargo cases, right? Like what happens if you rent a boat and then halfway through, excuse me, you unload it, right? And then does he have to pay less, you know, less than he had signed on to pay because he was only using the boat in that way for part of the journey and so on. Meaning, obviously, there's many other cases here. I mean, development of the cases as we go. But I think the question of putting this boat as a means of transport of loads, right, on the same page with the donkeys and the, you know, how the terms switch, I think there's something intentional there, right? The idea that, because donkey, you might say, well, it's an animal versus a boat, which is an inanimate object, right? Except for that both of them are being used in comparable ways, meaning to transport a load, and both of them, let's say, are then used differently than the original contract, or in this case, because the boat sinks, so you doesn't use it at all. I feel like we could spend a good amount of time parsing what makes a donkey different from a boat and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, I think also, like, we just, like, you and I don't travel around this way. So I have, like, no way to judge, and I'm curious to know, like, are the parameters by which the halakha determines what you pay, what you can deduct, you know, all these things, what is a misuse of the renter agreement, are these normal? Is this specific to Jewish law? Like, would other cultures have understood it this way? That's like what I just don't have a good sense of.
The comparable case that I can think of, I think, is if you come to rent a car, right? And let's say you want to rent a car because you're going to drive around and sightsee. Or you want to rent a car because you're going to, I don't know, pick up your kid from college and you have, you know, tons of stuff. Or what if you want to rent a car because you're going to transport bricks, right? Meaning, will the rental car company, does it faze them? Do they want to know? Do they have recourse against you if you come back and then something doesn't work as well as it's supposed to, but nothing really broke, you know, from your use, but it's more wear and tear? I don't know if there's any, I feel like those clauses are not specific like that. I feel like for the most part, it's, you know, there's a mileage question sometimes, or crossing state lines, but not what you do with the car during the time that you have it under your auspices.
Yeah, I agree, but like you said, right, you don't really get charged by a rental car that way. Like, a rental car doesn't ask you how much weight are you putting in the car.
Right. So I don't know if I'm supporting your question, meaning think that we don't know whether there was ever, I assume these were normal concerns because it just sounds so normal. Like, there, of course you have to pay attention to what you're going to do with your donkey, but I don't know.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Revenue Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page, and until tomorrow, go and learn.